Now, to something less than sunny, to industry insiders, it's K&R. It's big business. To you and me, it's kidnap and ransom, something with any luck we'll only read about. It's also the world that Canadian writer K.G. Howe chose as the backdrop to her debut novel called The Freedom Broker, which is out in paperback this week. When we spoke earlier, I asked why she'd wanted to write a page-turning thriller, which also really raises our awareness of this terrifying world.
Basically, The Freedom Broker centres on the world of kidnap and ransom. And there are over 40,000 kidnappings a year, and those are only the reported cases. What's happening now is terrorists are using kidnapping as a way for fundraising. And also in certain third world countries, military and police who are displaced are turning to kidnapping as a way of putting food on the table for their families. So it's a tragic circumstance, and sadly, you know, prosecution abroad is very, very minimal. So, for example, kidnappers only have about a 5% chance of getting caught. And as a result of that, it's proliferating. And I definitely want to bring awareness about kidnapping and all the hostages who are still out there who need to come home.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, that those statistics are terrifying. What drew you to this world?
Well, growing up, I lived internationally. My father worked in telecommunications, so I lived in Africa, the Middle East, Europe, Caribbean, and it was sort of like an overhanging shadow of threat in certain regions of the world where I traveled. And I was fascinated by kidnapping because I see it as a purgatory of sorts. You're alive, but you're not really living, and you're dependent on someone else for absolutely everything you need.
Indeed, yeah, and you have to absolutely call on your own inner resources that you may not knew have known that you had. And how much research did you do for this novel then? Because presumably you wanted to make sure you got it right.
Yeah, 100%. I'm a former medical writer, so I was really keen on research to start with. And once I sunk my teeth into kidnapping, I just kind of went overboard, and I will continue to research. Yeah. The last 3 or 4 years, I've been meeting with the technical term for kidnap negotiator is response consultant. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think that'd make a very sexy title. So I coined the expression freedom broker. And now these kidnap negotiators actually are some of them are taking on the I'm a freedom broker. So it's like, it's lovely. And I've also had the great honor and privilege of getting to know Peter Moore, who was the longest held hostage in Iraq. He was a British IT gentleman who was taken with 4 British military soldiers. And sadly, Peter is the only one that was able to come back home. So I've immersed myself in that world, psychiatrists that specialize in captives' mindset, reintegration specialists who help hostages, you know, kind of adapt to normal life again.
Yeah.
All sorts of individuals, special forces soldiers as well, who deliver ransoms and execute rescues. So a really wide variety of people to come up with the series.
Some of my BBC colleagues have had to do training in order to work in hostile countries, training that includes something I'd be absolutely appalled at thought of, but experiencing mock kidnappings, which you might think, yes, well, they know it's just training and it's all make-believe, but I can absolutely imagine cracking even under those circumstances. Did you enter into anything like that yourself?
Yeah, I've gotten to know quite a few of these experts, and yes, mock kidnappings are an amazing way. I've done a lot of different things to sort of prepare myself for the series, and including combat training in the Phoenix Desert, where I learned some hand-to-hand combat and knife fighting and some firearms training.
Don't mess with KG
Howe. I know, right?
Don't give you a bad review for your book and then meet you at a book festival.
I love the way you think. Scare him straight.
Yeah. The conversations that you had with Peter Moore must have been extraordinary. Can you give us a little glimpse into maybe some of his survival techniques, psychologically speaking?
You bet. Peter is a true gentleman and a very bright individual. What he did, it was horrible, really. I mean, like almost 1,000 days, if you can try and picture how long that is. And every day, you know, for 6 months, he was blindfolded and handcuffed. And he would use his cuffed hands to kill mosquitoes and to count how many mosquitoes he could kill a day. So this was one of the ways he kept his mind active. Then finally, he was chained to a radiator, and he had the blindfold taken off, and there was cracks on the wall. So what he did was he built an entire train system in his mind using those cracks that he was able to replicate on paper when he returned. So one of the key things I think to use as Peter as an example is you need to keep your mind fresh and sharp, and you need to push yourself, you know, to use your mind so you keep hope alive.
absolutely extraordinary, the human spirit and the human brain. And so here you are, you've done all of this research, but this is very much, these elite professionals, it's a very male-dominated world, isn't it? But you've got a woman at the centre of your novel. Is she inspired by a real person?
Actually, there is a wonderful lady named Sue Williams who does this work out of the UK, and I have the deepest respect for her. I had the honor of meeting her at one of the conferences I attended, but it is a fictional character. Mm-hmm. I felt like, you know, we've got James Bond, you know, we have Jason Bourne. Isn't it time for a little estrogen?
Tell us about the woman at the centre of your novel then.
Sure. Well, Thea Paris, basically, she has a very personal motivation for getting involved in kidnapping. And that is, her brother was taken right in front of her when she was only 8 and he was 12. He came back 9 months later, but he was never the same. And ever since then, she's had a form of survivor's guilt. And her whole drive was to make sure that other families didn't suffer like hers did.
And it must have been, as well as all the intense research and going to the dark side of this world, how much fun was it to put that woman, Thea Paris, you know, centre stage, so to speak, in your novel and have fun with her, as you say, with such a proliferation of male action heroes?
I had a blast. And let's just say I made her the team leader, and it was a lot of fun to do that, you know. But the thing is that, you know, It is a challenge to be a female in a male-dominated world. And Thea also has another handicap in that she has type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I really wanted to show with that was that, you know, diabetes or any illness, for that matter, shouldn't define you. You know, you can focus on your goals and reach for your dreams.
Is that something that relates to your time as doing medical writing?
Yeah, absolutely. I had the honor of writing about, you know, diabetes for several years as a medical writer, and also my grandfather had diabetes. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, you know, I was like transfixed by the fact that he was sticking himself willingly with needles, you know?
Yes. And is it also a fictional influence too, close to home where I am in Scotland? I'm thinking of Ian Rankin.
Ah, right. Yes. I love Ian. Actually, Ian and I were actually on tour at the same time in the US together. And it was hysterical because I was either in the same city as him or he was one day behind me. And we kept tweeting back and forth.
He's great fun. Does he not have a villain with anemia or something like that?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. And I think adding a medical element, mm-hmm, is perfect. And diabetes is really good for that because if Thea doesn't get her insulin, it's a ticking time clock, right?
Yeah.
So you build that into a thriller and it just cranks up the tension.
So I know that you're also being the executive director of Thriller Fest. This is the International Thriller Writers Annual Conference. Were you in that position before you started writing this novel?
Absolutely. I'm so inspired, to be honest with you, you know, with all the different authors I've had the honor of meeting. I mean, it's been incredible. You know, everyone from Lee Child to Ian Rankin,
yeah,
to Val McDermott, actually, too, came this year.
Fantastic.
And I love her. She's a real character. She actually has me being a Rovers fan now.
Oh, that's terrific. You have to work that into one of the novels.
I think so.
But I'm wondering how much, in a sense, you know, as well as all the research, you have just picked up from being in that world around thriller writers.
100%. I've been very lucky. I studied with Steve Barry. I've also studied with Lee Child and Karen Slaughter. And Karen Slaughter is actually the reason I have my agent. During a writing retreat, you know, she spoke to me and said, "Hey, I think my agent might like your work. Would you like to meet her?" And I'm like, "Well, of course, that'd be delightful." Mm. So I have a lot of people to thank for, you know, this incredible opportunity to have my novel out.
And what was your approach then when it came to the actual, you do your research, as you say, you love immersing yourself in that, but there comes a point where you have to put that behind you and get on with the story. You sound like a very organised person. Are you a big sort of whiteboard person who maps everything out from beginning to end, the structure of the novel?
Actually, ironically, I mean, in my head, I definitely have things mapped out, but
yeah,
I'm more of an organic writer. You know how they say, are you a plotter or a pantser?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pants on fire. but honestly, like, I do have it always working in my head, but I find when I write and I let the characters come to life and sort of take over, that I come up with things that surprise me, and I'm, mm-hmm, hoping that relates and surprises the reader as well.
So with Thea Paris, is this, I mean, The Freedom Broker just out, just about to come out in paperback. Are you signed up to do more novels with her at the centre?
I'm very lucky. I received a 2-book deal. And so Skyjack, which is the next book in the series, and I bet you can figure what that one centers on.
Terrified already.
Yes. And you can imagine I've kind of delved into the whole airplane world, which has really been fascinating. And so that book is finished, but it's being edited right now, and it'll come out next year.
Does all of this immersion in this world make you, you know, a nervous traveller? You definitely lock your hotel rooms at night.
Well, I definitely would say I have strong situational awareness, right? I'm always looking around, looking for trouble, and my writer's mind does kind of extrapolate a little bit, yes.
And you know you can look after yourself. Is there a bit of you and Thea Paris or the other way around?
Well, I think any writer that doesn't have a bit of them in the protagonist is probably in denial, doesn't say that, you know? I think you can't help it. But, you know, Thea's a whole lot braver than me, right? I mean, you know, I hear gun for I might run, but she'd run right back into it.
I'll let you bust your way out of the London studio just now. Really good to speak to you. All the very best with everything you're up to.
And thanks so much for having me on. It's been a real pleasure.
There you go. That's KJ Howe talking about her debut novel, The Freedom Broker, which will be out in paperback on Thursday.